Hi, everyone. I'm Rich Sega. That sound you heard at the open should let you know that we're doing something a little differently. So welcome now to our first client update of 2020. We're calling our new format Conning Context. That's with two N's, like conning, and a capital T, which rhymes with P, and that stands for podcast. It's a word sure to be flagged by spell check, but we think Conning Context, again, two N's and a capital T, is a fitting title for our message. It reflects our effort to provide you with context, just one N. I want to share Conning's 2020 visions of what's happening in the global economy and capital markets, and, more importantly, how it affects your business. We think our rich understanding of the unique needs of insurers helps us develop perspective that is both distinctive and valuable. The content of Conning Context is the same as our previous quarterly updates. We'll first offer a market overview and then talk with a Conning expert about portfolio and investment issues that are important to you. Today, our guest will be Cindy Bullio, who heads Conning's Investment Policy Committee. Since we are presenting our update by podcast, you'll have more flexibility on how to listen. It's audio only, no slides, so you can listen at work, in your car, at home, wherever you have a desktop, laptop, phone, or tablet. We welcome your feedback, which you can provide through your relationship manager or portfolio manager, or send it directly to us at context@conning.com. That's context with two N's and a capital T. So welcome to our inaugural Conning Context podcast. Now, bring up that background music and we'll move into our capital markets update. As we enter a new year and a new decade, we're still looking toward resolution to a list of old challenges. We face the impeachment of the U.S. president, a president whose administration is at the same time fighting impeachment while enjoying many policy successes, resulting in the longest economic expansion on record, new highs in equity markets, generational lows in yields, and near record tights in credit spreads. There's no reason to expect that these successes and results can't continue. There are many risks to the current path. Brexit effects, euro tariffs, geopolitical strife, and political contention leading up to national elections. But the underlying support for growth globally, and especially in the U.S., is solid. Benign monetary policy, fiscal largesse, easing regulatory burdens, even trade has become less threatening with the USMCA approval and the Phase 1 China deal signed. These factors lead us to expect global markets in 2020 to deliver solid results, probably not as spectacular as 2019, but solid. While the IMF has again ticked down their projection for this year's global growth, now 3.3% for 2020, subdued, as they call it, they emphasize that diminished fears on the trade front, along with broadly accommodative central banks and low interest rates, will keep modest positive growth in play. Our view is for U.S. GDP expansion in the low to mid 2% range, around 1% in Europe, the U.K., and Japan, and China coming in somewhere below 6%. Inflation struggles to reach central bank targets of 2%, and interest rates are stable to slightly higher over the course of the year. I'm joined by Cindy Bullio, Managing Director on the Hartford Portfolio Management Team and head of our Investment Policy Committee, to talk about how she sees the world and the effects on our portfolio strategies. Cindy, it's good to have you here. Before we get into our discussion, though, please tell us a little bit more about the Investment Policy Committee, which you lead. Who is this group and what do you do?
Hi, Rich. It's great to be here today. Thanks for that question right up front. I think it's important to explain that to our clients. Conning's Investment Policy Committee is made up of our CIOs, our most senior PMs, and the heads of our credit, municipal, structured, and equity strategies. It's the charge of this group to form a cohesive view of the macro environment, which then guides us as we assess the risks and opportunities in each sector and asset class to ultimately establish the sector allocation that is most appropriate for the current environment. While we meet and make changes monthly, it is with a longer-term view in mind, recognizing this longer-term perspective is better aligned with our clients' needs and objectives.
Thanks for that, Cindy. There are many things that you and your IPC group have to consider when setting investment policy, strategy, and its tactical implementation. But a standout issue in the U.S. right now, of course, is the impeachment trial in the Senate. Big political news. But what does it mean for markets?
As it relates to the impeachment, there's really no surprises here so far. I mean, if you think about it, the Democrats have been floating the impeachment threat practically since Trump took office. Perhaps that has helped to numb the markets to these headlines. Provided the Senate Republicans deliver as promised, it appears this will be just another partisan sideshow during Trump's presidency, with some promising to continue the search for impeachable offenses should Trump be reelected later this year.
Well, CB, since we're on the topic of the election, it's 10 months away. In politics, that's plenty of time for a couple dozen reversals. But what's relevant to your thinking right now?
I guess you could say, at least on the Democratic side of things, we're getting closer to knowing who their candidate will be. At least it's been narrowed down to six. Joe Biden has been the persistent front runner, yet you would never know from the way the Democratic Party is portraying it. In the meantime, the flip-flopping of others below Biden continues. With the Iowa caucus rapidly approaching, it appears we'll get the first official insight into who may emerge as the Democrats' front runner. Will Bernie Sanders' fundraising numbers prove indicative of broader support? Will Michael Bloomberg buy the nomination on Super Tuesday? Will the not-so-closely followed Pete Buttigieg surprise all? Will Elizabeth Warren be the next female presidential candidate? Or will she lose out to a more moderate choice in Amy Klobuchar? We could consult the New York Times endorsement for that last one, but apparently they couldn't decide either and endorse them both. So if we glean anything from the polls, and let's not forget how well they worked last time, but in case they're right this time, we're several months away from knowing who the Democrats' candidate will be. This also means we are several months from the risk of a meaningful market-moving event from any of this.
Yeah, so despite fighting impeachment and running a re-election campaign without yet knowing his opponent, President Trump has had some pretty big policy successes lately. Two on the economic front are his self-professed sweet spot, trade. Congress passed the USMCA, and the Phase One trade deal with China was signed. How important are these two developments to you?
With the Phase One deal signed at a high level, progress on the China front is enough to calm markets for the time being and perhaps give companies the confidence to increase spending. The reduction in tariffs will benefit specific industries, but also provide support to the broader economy. Specifically, some industries within the industrial subsector will benefit from both the promised Chinese demand for U.S. goods, as well as the postponement and removal of tariffs. Agricultural and manufacturing will benefit most immediately. Clearly good news for our farmers, and the uptick in activity has benefits to the U.S. economy. Getting a bit more specific, technology companies and retailers are two that are directly impacted, as both were feeling the effects of tariffs. And for technology firms, they stand to benefit as the U.S. looks to address some of the issues around protecting intellectual property.
Well, this China deal breaks new ground. USMCA, on the other hand, is called the new NAFTA because we had an old NAFTA. What's the effect on our positioning of the new agreement?
As you mentioned, Rich, we did have an old NAFTA, so the impacts of USMCA are not likely to be as significant, but still some industries stand to benefit. Auto manufacturers with Mexican and Canadian operations are one. Railroads is another. 42% of all rail traffic is connected to international trade, and a significant amount of that occurs across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The ability for tariff-free movement not only is a positive for those transporting, but also for the goods being transported. But stepping back a little to the bigger picture, USMCA is another accomplishment of Trump's presidency. There's still much work to be done with China, but in the meantime, President Trump claims a victory, a source of potential volatility is diminished, and the positive effects on the broader economy help keep the U.S. on track to low 2% growth.
Great. It sounds like the foundations are in place then for a good economic growth year and solid capital market performance in 2020. Maybe not as great as last year when virtually all asset classes did exceptionally well, but solid. What can knock it off track?
We think at this point the biggest risk to that is monetary policy. The FOMC has made it clear they're on the sidelines, possibly for all of 2020. They're waiting for persistent and sustained inflation above their 2% target. Market participants have gotten quite comfortable with that idea that no, there will be no Fed action in 2020. So if the Fed is forced to take action in the near term, this could destabilize markets and potentially in a significant way.
By the way, Cindy, what's your pick for the Super Bowl?
That's a tough one, Rich, but I think I'm going to have to go with Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is pretty impressive. He's arguably fighting one of the toughest defenses in football, the 49ers, but I think at the end of the day, they come out victorious.
Well, that concludes our first Conning Context podcast. I'd like to thank Investment Policy Committee Chair Cindy Bolio for joining. We hope this information is helpful, and we always welcome your feedback and questions. You can let us know your thoughts through your relationship manager or portfolio manager, or send them directly to us at context@conning.com. That's context with two N's. Thank you, and I look forward to speaking with you again next quarter.